everybody. Bill Buckmaster along with my friend Ray Allen. Ray is engineering and producing the show. Together we welcome you on this January 26th, 2017, Thursday afternoon to the Buckmaster Show. Very full agenda, so I'm going to go right to the live line right now in the state capitol. Freshman lawmaker Todd Clodfelter, Republican representing District Number 10, with us from the capitol. Representative Clodfelter, how are you?
I'm great, Bill. Thanks for having me on again today, and happy Thursday.
Yeah, happy Thursday. Tell me how the sessions, the first couple of weeks, what's impressed you, and what did you find surprising about this experience as an Arizona representative?
Well, first of all, what's impressive is the staff here that's here to help the legislators, and especially us new guys. They're awesome, top-notch, number one. I don't know how else to describe them. They're always here, they're always available, and they're willing to help every inch of the way. That's just extremely impressive, and there's no partisanship in that. And both groups are there to support. Surprisingly, I think I'm seeing some real positive direction with some bipartisan effort, not so much the split with the parties again, and that's one of the things I really want to work on is working across the aisle to make things happen, make things get fixed. So I'm really pleased with that, and I'm excited about it. We've got some good bills coming forward that I think are necessary. We're starting to look at the appropriations, the funding, and the governor's proposal for the budget, of course, and hopefully we'll see some good direction with the funding for K-12. All-day kindergarten, and even up into the higher education, including Pima Community College. So I'm hopeful in that regard.
Yeah, and one of our Facebook friends, Georgia, wondered if you could make that a huge effort on your part to try to get funding back for Pima.
Well, I'm a big advocate for the trades and the skills, and I know Pima's got a lot of fine programs in that. I've got a bill, actually, I'm going to present. I'm going to drop it to reestablish ninth grade JTED, and hopefully I'm working to get not just JTED going, but to be able to facilitate some activity between JTED and Pima College, because that's the next perfect stepping stone sometimes for some of those the youth that are in the JTED program. And the opportunity to grow and develop yourself has got to come from the community college level in many cases, because I'm sure that not everybody in the world is going to go to college. Yes. It's nice to go and get an associate degree and then have a job, expand your skill sets, and develop a career. And then as you go, then go into higher education a little further down so that you're getting a job and an education, but not coming out with the extensive loan expenses. So I'm hopeful, and I'm looking forward to working to get that together.
What about our Facebook friend Chris and Benson urging you not to take $90 million from highway user funds to fund the Department of Public Safety?
That is also a bill that's being presented, and I'm in favor of that. Her funds or any funds that are designated to agencies need to be left where they are, and not swept or taken from one fund to accommodate another or balance a budget. I think the DPS group, the department, needs to have separate funding, because that also generates a level of accountability as well. And the HERF money needs to stay the HERF money. The aviation money needs to stay there. They do sweep funds from all angles to help balance the budget, and I think we really need to work to balance the budget on its own without sweeping funds and doing any gimmickry. Is that a word, gimmickry?
Well, gimmicks, how about that?
we'll leave it at that. That's good.
Speaker Mesnard was on the program earlier this week for a half hour, and he also brought that up about bipartisanism, at least on the House side. He's seeing it, so, and you brought it up right at the beginning of our talk today, so something must be going on. Let's hope so.
I hope so, too. I've worked with Senator Farley on a couple of things already, had many conversations with him, and Dr. Friess from District 9 also just left my office a few moments ago. We were discussing a couple of bills, one of them being the ninth grade JTED, and a couple other items that we think we can work together on, because if you really look at it, we have different approaches because of our philosophies being Democrat and Republican. But the end goal is to solve problems, and the vast majority of the problems don't have a D or an R attached. they're just a problem. We need to address that logically with some common sense and take care of the issues.
Are you coming home every weekend, or did I see last weekend you actually stayed up there?
No, I didn't stay last weekend. I'm coming home this weekend. Next weekend, I'll be staying up here. I've got a lot to do. It's a whirlwind, Bill. You know, they say drinking from the fire hose. That's an understatement, number one. And I wouldn't say it's overwhelming, but I would say it's mind-boggling. I've been working in the office, out of the office, anywhere from 12 to 14 hours a day, just reading emails, trying to catch up with everybody, looking at the bills that are coming through. I serve on three committees. It's a lot of work, but it's very enjoyable. There's a lot of great people here from all walks of life, all over the state. It's a great accumulation of representation of our state, of the demographics and the people here.
It's very wonderful. Very much public service, because it certainly isn't the big paycheck, is it, Todd Clodfelter?
No, it's not grand funding, but at least from the paycheck standpoint. But, you know, it's worthwhile work, and it's gratifying in its own way. So I'm real happy to be here, Bill.
Thank you very much, Todd Clodfelter. Thank you. Have a great day and a great weekend, Todd. Thank you.
Thanks, Bill. Same to you.
All right, Todd Clodfelter, District 10 Republican, seems to be settling in very well. Settling in well over at Green Things, 3384 East River Road. They're now on 13 acres. And when I say settling in, that property is beautiful. Check it out, just west of the intersection of Dodge and River, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park. Their website is fantastic, greenthingsaz.com. Everything you need to know about gardening and how they can help with your gardening supplies, like the frost cloths that we use at the Buckmaster House and used last night extensively. The bird bass were frozen at Hacienda de Buckmaster. Next up on Buckmaster, Keith Rosenblum. So much to talk about with Mexico. Next.
American Openings is pleased to sponsor Hands of Hope. Hands of Hope believes every life matters, and they're committed to walking alongside women to provide confidential, non-judgmental care so they can make the best decisions when unsure about continuing with a pregnancy. You can learn more about Hands of Hope at GiveHopeTucson.com. American Openings is a locally owned door and window manufacturer and is blessed to be a sponsor of a local ministry doing so much to protect life.
The excitement is building for the grand opening in early 2017 for the Twisted Tandoor. The legendary Indian food truck will now have a permanent brick-and-mortar home at Swan and Camp Lowell Drive. The menu will be an expansion of the Indian classic offerings from the original Twisted Tandoor food truck. The Twisted Tandoor, coming in early 2017 at 4660 East Camp Lowell Drive. This is Bill Buckmaster. One of my passions is travel, visiting over 100 countries in all 50 states. When I'm ready to take off, I fly from Tucson International Airport, with six airlines flying nonstop to 19 destinations and easy one-stop connections. I can get virtually anywhere in the world. It's close by, convenient, with competitive airfares, and the best part is there's no long drive coming back home after a long trip. Check out flytucson.com, travel smart, and fly Tucson. It's the way to go. The Regional Transportation Authority and its members are working together to deliver transportation improvements to our region. More than 770 improvements have been completed to date. The success of the RTA is built upon collaboration and leadership that focuses on addressing our regional mobility needs to make our region a safer, more efficient, and more vibrant place to live. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
On a changing planet, the University of Arizona's Biosphere 2 has been diving deeper and looking closer while energizing, innovating, conserving, and advancing science on an unparalleled scale to better understand the natural systems around us and to inspire our future generations. For 10 years now, UA Biosphere 2 has explored our planet's future. Come, explore it yourself. Open daily, biosphere2.org. Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Today, more than ever, consumers want to work with a business they trust. Hi, this is Suzanne Miller with your Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, reminding you that thousands of consumers go to tucson.bbb.org every week to inquire about trustworthy businesses. Is your business accredited with BBB? To find out more, call Celeste Angelini at 520-345-5837 or go to tucson.bbb.org and remember to always start with trust.
Welcome back to Buckmaster. Want to put Silver City on your radar? I think it's a great place to get away. 3-hour drive east of Tucson. So much to do. I suggest going to the website. That's the start. SouthwestNewMexico.org. Just spell that out. SouthwestNewMexico.org. You will find the full listing of the many places to stay and the many things to do. We send so many listeners over to Silver City, and everybody comes back and they say the same thing. They had a great time. Check it out. Well, Mexicans used to complain that President Obama didn't pay enough attention to its neighbor to the south. Now America's second most important economic partner is getting attention from President Trump, but not the kind Mexico would like. Let's bring in now on the live line our contributor on the border here on the Buckmaster Show, longtime Mexico observer, reporter Keith Rosenblum. Keith, how are you?
So I'm doing well, thank you, and I continue to observe.
Let me ask you something. You've been observing Mexico a long time. Have you ever seen anything like, and is there an historic precedent, certainly in the maybe the 20th century, 21st century? How far back do you have to go to see this kind of a dust-up between Mexico and the United States?
As a man who failed, or as a student who failed all of his history classes, I have to take a bye on that. But I will say that you can go back to the Mexican-American Wars and you'd probably be hard-pressed to find more animosity between the official levels. And that's what deserves to be underscored here, because at the level of people trading and traveling and moving around and conducting business and socializing, I see this as being more of a circus atmosphere than anything. I think that what we're living is a continuation of what candidate Donald Trump promised, which would be controversy, which would be picking on. It would be kind of, to me anyway, the populist Hugo Chavez playbook. Mm-hmm. That is, we'll go ahead and pick on somebody and issue some threats. And so what you have is a U.S. president saying Mexico's going to pay for a wall. I'm still pressed legally to understand why Mexico should pay for a wall, except for, I guess, to keep Mexicans from coming here. I'm not clear on why there would be cost division anyway. But what we're seeing is brinksmanship or one-upsmanship, whatever you want to call it, on a really unusual level because it's at the presidential one. You see things like this at the level of a Nogales or a Douglas or a El Paso, that you very rarely see anything like this at a presidential level. So, yes, lots of attention. Is it going to affect anything day-to-day? I can't imagine, although the push from Washington right now is not merely about the wall, but also about having local law enforcement own up and participate more in turning in people who may be in the country illegally. You just don't know where it's going to end. And I think that if you talk to people who, and I was privileged to witness, to listen to people who will tell you about the demise of countries or the falling of countries, of Germany or of Hungary or of other countries, and wondering at what point will it stop? Or is it real, or is this simply just spectatorship for a population?
I do want to mention, coming up at 12:30, I think you know this gentleman, Guillermo Valencia, the chair of the Greater Nogales and Santa Cruz County Port Authority, is going to be my guest, and it'll be my guess that he will say that things are booming right now along the border.
He probably will. I'm not sure that I know Guillermo, but regardless, what he will tell you is that this is the many aspects of the Mexico-U.S. relationship and the Sonora-Arizona relationship, or the Nogales-Nogales relationship, or Rio Rico. You have lots of parallel truths, and that's why at a given moment someone will ignore what's going on a national level, and we tend to do that until it affects us. One of the truisms of free trade has always been that we're in favor of it until it comes and it affects us. Mm-hmm. And then we say, you know what, maybe that's a little too frayed. Maybe we really need to have some restrictions. The U.S. produce industry is excellent at that. We're in favor of free trade for everybody until we really need to individually label tomatoes from Mexico because we make up some kind of reason, or a lime from Mexico. I'm going next week with a woman from Phoenix who wants to go look into doing a shoe and wallet business. She's got her plans, wants to have something drawn up. She has her dream of being able to do this. Will she, or will that type of person, now face new tariffs? Will they face new impediments to doing something like that? Or will this encourage her to buy and hire American? Or will it simply vanquish an idea that she had? So many of these things are, we're living in a we see them at a macro level, and then it matters to us when we have to live it at a micro level at our grassroots.
I want to go back to the wall, and I posted about this question on Facebook, and it's not being addressed. There's 75 miles of border with the Tohono O'odham Nation. People go back and forth from the nation. They live on both sides of the border. That is, from what I understand, a sovereign nation. And this is a case that I believe, Keith Rosenblum, about building a wall through their property that could probably go to the U.S. Supreme Court.
I think lots of the issues could go to the Supreme Court because we have states are supposedly sovereign. Municipalities have a certain autonomy as well. And so a lot of what's happening could wind up that way. I listened earlier today. I was listening to an NPR interview with Brandon Judd, who's the head of the Border Patrol Union, which was the first to endorse the president. And I keep having this sensation that that the people who are in charge or who are making these calls are the ones that are also going to implement policy. I always thought the Border Patrol agents responded to what they were told to do by the executive branch, not that they helped to formulate policy, for example. So the issues like walls and what the Border Patrol is, when does the Border Patrol tell us what it should be doing? The Border Patrol is supposed to follow whatever the orders are from Homeland Security. But in the case of the Tohono O'odham Nation, if you listen to the Border Patrol Union head take on a case like that, by putting a wall up, what you'll do is, you'll enable the Border Patrol to have a higher ratio of people per kilometer, per mile at the nation and at places where there's not a wall. That's where we're headed, the ludicrousy of looking at examples like that. But anyway, yes to this going to the Supreme Court, and not only there. By the way, Indian nations are defined as being, they're called sub-something dependent nations. I'm trying to remember the exact terminology. So yes, they have autonomy, and they are sovereign, and you can't go building a wall there. But hey, we could post lots of Border Patrol people or customs enforcement people right near or on the reservation itself, because we do have that authority. Sovereign dependent nation is the terminology for our tribes.
Well, I think there's a worry that this is going to escalate into some kind of a trade war between the United States and Mexico.
Everybody who's listening to you should go to the Wikipedia entry of the Smoot-Hawley Tariff Act of 1930.
Okay.
And they will see that we've already tried this. To stem off what we thought was the Great Depression, We go ahead and we slap tariffs on things. Trump's line about buying American and hiring American, it all sounds so patriotic. And what you do is you can't, we've never quite learned, and this is the lesson of Milton Friedman or basic economics, that you can't legislate buying anywhere, or you can't legislate wages, and you can't tell people what to do. Eventually, what you'll have are high wages, rules on employment, and you'll have no products to buy and no jobs to be had. And that's where we're headed right now. And if anybody pays heed to history, they'll go back and look at the Smoot-Hawley Act and see that we've been down this path before and it failed big time.
All right. Let me ask you, Keith Rosenblum, under any circumstances, do you see Mexico paying one dime for a 40-foot wall, for any size wall between Mexico and the United States?
What I see in both countries, by the way, it took someone like a President Trump to elevate the status of President Peña Nieto.
His ratings,
have been in single digit. He's all of a sudden he's yeah. like President Trump. he's managed to turn him into a kind of a hero. But anyway, what there will need to be very soon is diplomatic language that gives everybody a victory. I mean, it'll make you think of the shape of the table at the Vietnam peace talks.
Oh, yes.
There will be, everybody's going to be saying, well, no, he paid for it, no, she paid for it. And this is going to end up with, they're going to end up having to have some kind of accommodation that gives everybody a face-saving technique. Mm-hmm. That's really where we're going to be headed for. So we'll say, of course, they paid for it. Well, no, they didn't. But in the end, if you go to the World Court or you go to the U.S. Court of Claims, you go to any of these places that adjudicate things like this, if you go to a jury trial, imagine you got called for jury duty in Pima County. This obviously will do extrapolation. And you had people present the facts to you, and it was a civil case, you know, United States versus Mexico. How could you come down on the side of the United States for deciding on its own to build a wall and then send the bill to the Mexicans? This whole thing is really, you'd be hard-pressed to create a fiction work with such weird premises.
And this could cost $12 to $15 billion. And by the way, speaking of facts, it is a fact that illegal immigration from Mexico is very, very low, the lowest it's been in many, many years, correct?
Yeah, that's correct. The numbers have waned off. Well, that really, in the end, what President Trump used in terms of using Mexicans, what he was able to do was he was able to find the judge in Indiana, Curiel, or whatever the guy's name was, who couldn't make an objective decision because, hey, he's a Mexican. It's the student at the University of Nebraska or wherever she was that was murdered by an undocumented Mexican. It was the use of the George Bush, Willie, whatever the guy's name was, as boogeymen. And that's what President Trump has done so beautifully with Mexicans, but not Mexicans. Mexicans have no particular reason to be to feel singled out. It's actually a uniformity of policy. It's the Muslim guy at the whose son was died in conflict. It's the Islamic terrorists. There's a range of boogeymen. And the Mexicans just happen to be close, and they can't really defend themselves. And we should look for lots more boogeymen to come. Illegal immigration is a joke. The numbers are down almost to nothing.
So you think that this will be resolved with some kind of diplomatic language?
No, I'm not sure it'll be resolved. I think this is actually a test case. I think that the president's headed in so many ways. Again, I want to detach the Mexico issue here.
Yeah.
I think we're headed for conflict in so many ways. What we have is a president who's an adversarial kind of guy, and Mexico right now in the first days of administration is kind of an easy target, but don't worry, there's lots more to come. I think the real test is going to be whether how long the Republican majority is going to back him. It's going to be on something as basic as voter fraud. I was thinking about that the other day, of how hard it is for me to establish my identity to the people at my booth here or
right.
my polling place,
yeah.
and thinking about how I had to show like five different people who I was and they still doubted me. And I was thinking about thousands or millions rather of undocumented workers that they're really going to go through that process. No one would last for 1 minute at a polling place having to document something. we're heading on so many different levels. Okay. We're heading toward an absurdist scenario.
Keith, I have 1 minute, and I have a caller who has a question for you. So let's see if we can get this in. Let's go ahead. Steve, go ahead. You're with Keith Rosenblum.
Hello. Hi, I'm kind of disturbed how you're blowing off somebody was murdered and this person was murdered. That's pretty sad. One person being murdered. How about the sheriff deputy who almost got murdered? You know, I hope that wasn't your brother, your father, or you out there doing that. This is called illegal against people who are bad, not the regular illegal people who are good who can come in this country legally. We're looking at the people who are bad people coming into this country. And you, sir, that's very sad how you just dismiss the people who died because that's how what he's using.
Steve,
Steve, yeah.
Who's blowing off anything, sir? We are not blowing off. We are just saying a fact that illegal immigration is down. That's all we're saying.
No. But he's talking about, he uses this person who died. That's pretty sad that you're saying he uses. The person did die because of that. The girl in San Francisco died. The sheriff's deputy or the highway patrolman in Arizona almost died. And if it wasn't for a citizen against somebody who was a bad person in this country illegally, we're looking at the person who is bad.
Okay. Steve, thank you for calling. Keith, any reaction?
Sure, I respond. No, Steve, I appreciate the nature of that. I don't mean to ridicule or to scorn anybody. What I'm saying is that we have that any of those in and of themselves is either, the tragedy is not the word, but they are avoidable. However, it could easily have been, if you look at the rates, it could just as easily have been your neighbor. We're talking about people who are mentally dysfunction. We wouldn't have kept them out, and they could have been just as easily something homegrown. We got to be concerned with all what's happening in Chicago, for example, has nothing to do with illegal immigration. I'm not trying to ridicule or to make light of anything like that. I'm sorry if that was the message. That wasn't what I intended to do.
Okay, Keith Rosenblum, thank you, sir, very much.
My pleasure.
Thanks a lot. Keith Rosenblum talking with us. He is our Mexico contributor. Guillermo Valencia is up next. We're going to talk more about the border and specifically what's going on in Nogales. And that's next. Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley. As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com. If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques. It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
Experience the best of the Canadian Rocky Mountains with the rail journey on Rocky Mountaineer. You'll travel alongside the powerful Kicking Horse River and pass by monumental landmarks from the early days of the National Railway. On this legendary route, you'll see postcard images around each bend, including stays in picturesque Lake Louise, with scenic tours of Jasper National Park, and much more. Contact Bon Voyage Travel to plan your Rocky Mountaineer rail journey today. Bon Voyage Travel, your travel experts.
The Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting the news from a different perspective. Local opinion from Amo Franzi, Bill Richardson, and Bruce Ash. Our national columnists are the best. Michael Barone, Thomas Sowell, Ilan Berman, Avik Roy, Bill Tatro, and A View from the Left with Sam Smith of Progressive Review. Plus, Michael Ramirez political cartoons. It is thoughtful opinion and commentary only found in the Southern Arizona News Examiner. Free subscriptions at soaznewsx.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. Coming up Friday, we talk with Tucson City Manager Michael Ortega. Our Friday roundtable features Dylan Smith of TucsonSentinel.com and Sarah Garrett Gasson of the Arizona Daily Star. Matt Russell hosts our weekend watch on Buckmaster, noon to 1 on Tucson's Voice, AM 1030 KVOI, and we're always on my website, BuckmasterShow.com. Welcome back. Time for our CEO interview series on the Buckmaster Show, presented by Sun Corridor Incorporated, a Tucson-based bi-national economic development organization representing one of the most dynamic and growing business centers in North America. For the past 10 years, the organization has helped to drive significant business investment into Tucson and Southern Arizona through primary job creation, resulting in thousands of jobs and an economic impact, get this, nearly $8 billion, that's billion with a B, dollars. For more information, log in to suncorridorinc.com. And joining us on the live line, Guillermo Valencia. Guillermo is the chairman of the Greater Nogales and Santa Cruz County Port Authority. Guillermo, how are you?
Good. How are you? Good afternoon.
Tell me a little bit about what is the Nogales and Santa Cruz County Port Authority?
Well, we're a group of private stakeholders and local government stakeholders. They encompass the major industries here, like the maquiladora or the manufacturing industry in Sonora, the customs brokers, the Fresh Produce Association. They also include the Santa Cruz County and the City of Nogales, among other groups. So we're an organization that together we identify issues that affect and interest our community, and we try to advance those issues with local, state, and federal agencies.
And how are things going with the trade and tourism in the Nogales area?
Well, you know, things are going well. Nogales is a very important city for the state of Arizona. We are the principal gateway for trade and tourism with Mexico. Nogales handles about 85% of the total trade and about 50% of the tourism for Arizona through here. In terms of people that cross our border, there's maybe 21 million people, 7 million vehicles, and about 640,000 commercial vehicles that cross here on an annual basis in two-way trade. Granted, there's a lot of uncertain times that face us, but I think Nogales is well prepared to handle anything that comes our way.
Would you see all this talk about the border fence? Is that a challenge to you, or will that have any kind of impact on Nogales?
Well, I mean, if you've been to Nogales, we mm-hmm. have a fence.
You're right. There's already a fence. I was going
to
say this.
So I don't. I'm a lifelong resident of Nogales, born and raised here. I was born a block from the border.
Uh-huh.
My mom is a block and a half. The fence has always been there. So we've moved away from that. And, you know, as residents of the border, we are the first to tell you that that we want a secure border. But a secure border means more than just being secure. It's got to be an effective border, and it's got to be an efficient border. So for us, we deal with border every day, and these people are building a wall. We've just moved on, and we're dealing with the issues that we can control, and what we control and what affects us here on a daily basis is commerce and trade and retail business, and that's what we deal with. That's what we work on.
And I think that's a perspective we don't hear a lot of times in the national media, that there are places like Nogales that are really, the things are going very well there with the kind of investment opportunities, correct? You've got all sorts of investment opportunities right now in Nogales.
Oh, absolutely. And you're correct that the media comes down here and reports on certain items, but and sometimes those items are might not be that positive, but and thus they form people form a perspective based on what they're seeing in the media. But if we were able to report more on the good things we do down here, they'd be able to say that Nogales in the last 3 years has built more than 1.2 million square feet of warehousing and distribution space. You know, there's another 1 million square feet that have been permitted for construction. There's foreign direct investment coming to Nogales. Ambos Nogales is one of the largest manufacturing hubs in North America. There's close to 100 manufacturing facilities on the Nogales Sonora side, close to 40,000 people employed there. And these are all jobs that if they wouldn't have gone to Mexico, they would have gone to China or someplace else.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've heard the numbers. Everything that comes and is imported from China has 4% or 4 cents of every dollar is of American content.
Hmm.
When something is imported from Mexico, there's 40 cents of American content.
Wow.
And all that translates to jobs.
Mm-hmm.
And in the total, in the manufacturing industry, there's 6 million jobs in the U.S. that depend on the manufacturing industry in Mexico that exports to the U.S. So there is a lot of opportunity for investment in Nogales. Nogales is a center of excellence for global logistics. Think about what we do with the produce. You know, a fresh tomato that gets shipped to New York and the East Coast, it gets there fresh. It not only gets there fresh, but it gets there in great quality, and it's a safe product to eat. We ship produce worldwide from Nogales. We ship to Canada, to Europe, to Japan, and we do this thousands of times a day.
Uh-huh.
This is an ongoing transaction that we do daily. So there's many opportunities for Nogales and Southern Arizona and in Mexico. So yeah, we're excited about the future here.
How about your competitors in Texas and California? Are we holding our own? I know the governor was down there. He's very big on what's been going on in your region.
Yeah, we're lucky to have the governor that we had. He's always been very bullish on Mexico. He came down here as a candidate many times to Nogales. And he was just recently here in December to personally witness some of the issues that we're working on, some of the good work we're doing. And I think it goes along the same lines that where he thinks that there's a lot of value in Mexico, and he sees that Nogales is the main port of entry, and he wanted to come and witness what we're doing. And I think he walked away impressed, and he's very supportive of our efforts, especially some of the efforts that we have with customs and our federal officials, and also with our Mexican counterparts, where we have dual inspections. He's also a businessman, and he was very impressed about the hub for international business that is Nogales, Arizona. So I think all in all, he was very impressed with what we were doing, and I think it was kind of encouraging from him to hear that, hey guys, you're doing a good job, continue doing what you're doing. You're an asset for the state, for Southern Arizona, and for the rest of the nation.
How about Texas? Texas and California? Are we holding our own with that competition?
We are. Nogales is quite different than San Diego, El Paso, Laredo. Just by mere size, Nogales is 24,000 people. Our community here, Santa Cruz County, is 40,000. Where you get into these big cities, El Paso, San Diego, the Laredo-McAllen Valley, you know, there are over 1 million people. So we're a small town trying to compete with them, but yet still we're the fifth largest port of entry on the Mexican border.
Wow.
We're very pro-business here in Nogales and in Arizona, and that all comes from the partnership that we have with our local officials. They've been promoting Arizona a lot. So are we going to be able to reverse some of the trend of some of the volume that you hear? We're losing our volume to Texas or to California. Nogales has been growing every year. Our crossings every year have been going up. So it's not that we're not growing. It's just that some of the areas in Mexico and some of the commodities in Mexico, they're more natural ports of Texas.
Okay.
Will McAllen someday be bigger than Nogales? Probably. But that doesn't mean that where we are at our peak here at 2,000, that somewhere down the road that we can't be at 4,000 trucks a day.
All right.
And that's what we're preparing for. Yes, there is competition, and we have to be prepared for that. And that comes, and Nogales can't do it alone. We have to partner with Sun Corridor. We have to partner with Pima County. We have to partner with Maricopa and the state of Arizona, and we have to do our job in going out there and promoting our area and our assets that we have here.
Guillermo Valencia. Guillermo, thank you for talking with us.
You're welcome.
Guillermo Valencia is the chairman of the Greater Nogales and Santa Cruz County Port Authority. If you'd like to mention, or if you would like to learn more about what they're doing and about Sun Corridor, I suggest that you log on to suncorridorinc.com. We'll be right back on the Buckmaster Show. Tucson now has its own Creole restaurant, named after the classic New Orleans cocktail. Sazerac Creole Kitchen and Cocktail Parlor is located in St. Phillips Plaza at River and Campbell. The New Orleans-inspired menu includes a full range of gumbos and much-loved beignets. See you soon at Sazerac, open daily, 8 a.m. to midnight at St. Phillips Plaza.
Hi, I'm Dr. Kevin Lehman. Can we just talk? I want to talk to you about cockroaches. Yes, cockroaches. And their buddy, the scorpions. You know, if there's something that drives me up the wall, it's a cockroach. And it's not something people talk about. But we didn't just talk about it, we did something about it. We called Shelby Hawkins at Five Star Termite and Pest Control. Guess what? No more cucarachas.
Five Star Pest Control. We know what bugs you.
This is Bill Buckmaster. I love travel and flying from Tucson International Airport, and when you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. When more people fly Tucson, airlines respond with more flights, and with more flights, more travelers can get here to conduct important business. It's a win for the region, and it's a win for you in time saved and money saved not traveling to an airport 2 hours away. Next time you book a flight, type in TUS. Travel smart and fly Tucson. It's the way to go. The Regional Transportation Authority works with its member jurisdictions, the business community, project neighbors, and the broader community to deliver transportation projects promised in 2006. This collaborative effort is a model of diverse interests coming together for the benefit of the region. This spirit of regional collaboration helps us address the mobility and safety needs in all of our communities. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com. On a changing planet, the University of Arizona's Biosphere 2 has been diving deeper and looking closer while energizing, innovating, conserving, and advancing science on an unparalleled scale to better understand the natural systems around us and to inspire our future generations. For 10 years now, UA Biosphere 2 has explored our planet's future. Come, explore it yourself. Open daily, biosphere2.org.
Are you a landlord by choice or by force? Experiencing a job transfer and don't know what to do with your current house? Want to move but can't sell your current house? Hello, my name is Ken Adams, co-owner of Rincon Ventures Property Management. Rincon Ventures has a fully automated accounting process, electronic payments, and 24-hour access to your accounts. With some of the lowest rates in Tucson, Rincon Ventures has grown rapidly in this down economy. Let us show you why. Give us a call at 881-2258 right now and experience the difference. Rincon Ventures, where service is a fact, not another empty promise. 881-2258.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local independent nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com. Coming up on 12:50 on the Buckmaster Show, I want to do a shameless plug for my appearance Saturday afternoon on February 4th. That's a week from Saturday. I'll be interviewed by Ryan Hansen, the CEO of Bon Voyage Travel, at their travel showcase. And everybody that knows me knows I love to travel. But anyway, we'll be talking there at 1 o'clock at West and La Paloma, and would love to have some of the Buckmaster Show listeners there on Saturday, February 4th. That whole event, the showcase that Bon Voyage puts on, over 30 travel suppliers, it's free, noon to 3 at West and La Paloma, and love to see some of our listeners out there, and I'd love to see some of our listeners at the Reed Park Zoo. And that would be delightful to have some of our listeners there. And Jason Jacobs joins us now. Jason, how are you?
Doing great.
Jason is the administrator at the Reed Park Zoo. It was a pretty good year for the zoo, right, 2016? I mean, there have been some down things that have happened. You lost a couple of animals that I know you folks have been really hurting over at the zoo.
We have been. I can tell you that the staff at the zoo, our keepers, curators, and vets, vet techs, they are some of the most dedicated folks you will ever meet. And they do whatever it takes to take care of our animals. And I am so proud of them day in, day out. You know, we're a transparent zoo. So when something like that happens, we announce it. And people will say, oh, well, it seems like you have had some deaths. And yes, we have. But at the same time, I tell people, you know, we contracept our lions. We'd have lion cubs every year if we didn't contracept them. So we're a responsible zoo, and not all births make the news. We had some birds hatch recently that, you know, it's significant to us, but, you know, we just haven't had time to tell that story yet. But, yeah, our staff, a lot of people don't realize that although the zoo might close some days, we're closed Christmas Day and Thanksgiving Day, we still have staff there. When you go home at night, we still have staff there taking care of animals, and they, you know, they don't worry about.
It's a 24/7 operation.
It really is, and I have staff that will routinely work a week in a row, and they do that because they love the job. They're passionate about what they do, and they are dedicated to the care of the animals. They are some of the most hardworking, dedicated individuals and passionate that you will ever meet, and I'm honored to work with them day in, day out.
The jaguar was almost 21.
She was almost 21,
and which is elderly.
That is geriatric for a jaguar, yeah. And this jaguar had a groundbreaking blood transfusion in early December, three of them, in fact, and just finally passed. Well, our staff made the decision to euthanize it when we felt that the quality of life was no longer there. And that's a decision that the keepers and the veterinarians make. And I can tell you that jaguar had a wonderful life at Reed Park Zoo. Never went without.
And the gibbon was middle-aged?
She was 17, and we moved her to a new habitat, and we followed her closely, but after we saw signs that she just wasn't adjusting, we had to give her health care, and she just did not come back. And, you know, a lot of what we do is science, and with that gibbon, for instance, you know, our staff was with her every day, day in, day out. She passed away surrounded by the veterinarian, the curator, and other folks. And I can tell you that for those of you who might have animals at home, when you take your dog or cat to the vet, you have a really close relationship with your dog or cat, or at least most pet owners do. You can hold your dog or cat and say everything's going to be okay, and you can comfort them while the veterinarian gives them a shot or does what they have to do. Our zoo animals are not pets. We can't hold a gibbon. Right. We can't hold a monkey or a lion or a tiger. You know, what's interesting is we have a lion that has some kidney issues. He's trained to voluntarily take subcutaneous fluids at least once a week to help his kidney.
Goodness. Oh,
and that shows
goodness.
You the great dedication and the relationship that our staff has with some of these animals. Our tigers are trained to have blood drawn from their tails.
Oh, my God.
So, I mean, it's...
It's just so much that you have to be such a dedicated person and love animals to work in that environment. You really have some of the best people of any zoo in the United States. You really do.
We do, and they do so much, and we are appreciative. You know, we share the information on Facebook, and all of our fans and the community support the keepers and the staff.
You have a tremendous amount of fans.
It means a lot.
You have very transparent. You put out a lot of news releases about what is going on with the animals. And you've got a healthcare facility that's going to be up and
running.
That's
right. We just broke ground on Sunday for a 10,000-square-foot animal health center. And it's a $4 million facility, funded 100% by our good friends and partners, the Reed Park Zoological Society, their board of trustees, and their president, Nancy Kluge. They undertook this job, and within 3 years, they raised $4 million to help the care and welfare of these animals at the zoo. And I'm so proud and honored to have them helping us. You have no idea what a great job they do to help us out. And not only will this be a healthcare center for the animals, it's going to be a teaching hospital. We are a part of the University of Arizona with this hospital, and there will be on-call rooms for U of A students, to fourth-year vet students, to spend the night there to help us out, to learn zoo medicine. There'll be an observation window for students, all-age students, from kindergartners to maybe a senior group that can come and watch an operation when we have that for the animals. So we're on the verge of some great stuff at Reed Park Zoo.
What do you have exhibit-wise for 2017?
Well, we're planning on bringing in a mob of meerkats. Meerkats are a small carnivore from South Africa that look well, they're related to a mongoose. They're not really a cat. And if you've ever seen the movie The Lion King, Timon is a meerkat. And if
how is that spelled?
M-E-E-R.
M-E-E-R.
Meerkat.
K-A-T. Okay.
Yes. So they're really cute animals. They're active, and they're from a desert climate that's very similar to Tucson, where it can get, you know, very cold at night and 115 degrees during the day.
I know this animal.
Aren't they,
great? Thank you, Ray, for bringing that up on my screen. Meerkats. I saw some of these little guys and ladies along the Chobe River in Botswana.
Well, there you go.
Meerkats. And they're going to be coming to Tucson.
They're going to be coming. You know what's in there? I didn't know you've gone to the Chobe.
I have.
I've gone to Chobe, too.
Been on
too,
the Chobe River.
And you probably saw a lot of elephants.
Oh.
Right?
There's 400 elephants one evening at about 5 o'clock, because this was the winter, and the sun sets along the Chobe at about 5:30. So guess what, Jason? At about 5 o'clock, guess who starts coming down to the Chobe for drinking? Hundreds of elephants.
I'm an elephant, my favorite animal. And you might not know this, but there's more elephants in Chobe National Park than any place else in the world. And I've been there too. And going there on that little river voyage was one of the best days of my life. But the other best day
there's
was
the little river. There's
there
the
it
little
is.
Boat right
when,
there.
When Nandi was born. But you and I have been to Chobe National Park. But you know what? We had 518,000 visitors last year at Reed Park Zoo. I wonder how many of them will ever get the chance to see an elephant in Africa. And that's why it's so important that we have a great zoo here in Tucson, where we can expose so many children, people of all ages, to our animals and learn about. We not only take great care of these elephants, but we have teen volunteers and our docents who have worked very hard to help with an ivory ban, because people don't realize 96 elephants a day are being poached for their ivory, their tusk in Africa. We have to do something, and that's what Reed Park Zoo has done with public education. We have wonderful team volunteers who are committed to it, and our docents also.
And the African Wildlife Federation, a group that I've been associated with for many years, believes that China now banning, I don't know if a ban has gone into effect yet, but banning elephant ivory could be the most important thing to saving the elephants.
Yes, and there's a lot of animals. As you've seen, when you go to the wild, there's no such thing in the wild.
No.
They're in national parks,
that's right.
And they're protected and managed.
Yep.
And it's a wonderful experience, and that's
why it ties
right
back into
the
zoos. Even in national parks, they're still vulnerable, and bless their hearts, the guards and that they have there. They're not paid hardly anything, but they're very dedicated people, like the people at Reed Park Zoo
that
work for you. Jason, I'm going to have to run, but I do urge everyone to belong to Reed Park Zoo. I'm a member. Visit our local attraction, and Jason will have you on again very soon, I hope.
Thank you. It's always
much.
A pleasure.
This afternoon at 4, Mike Shaw and Ray Allen, they get together and they put together a great show from 4 to 5. And then tomorrow morning, 6 to 9, Wake Up Tucson. And then the news show, it's doing well, isn't it, Ray? Talking Culture from 9 to 10. Then me, Buckmaster, back with you with Michael Ortega, city manager. Till then, afternoon and evening to you. Have a good one.